I'm so glad you're joining me today on Awaken to Grace. I'm Chad Roberts, and today we are in part two of our current sermon on our study of the seven churches of Revelation, and today is part two of the Church of Smyrna. Now, this is a suffering church that Christ is writing to, and today I'm going to share a little bit of church history with you, the time frame that I feel like the Church of Smyrna falls into. We're going to hear a little bit of the story of a man named Polycarp, who was martyred for Christ. Well, I hope you enjoy today's teaching, and I hope you'll also consider sharing Awaken to Grace with a friend. If you are growing and you are learning and God's Word is having a great impact on you, well, I hope you'll visit our website at awakenedtograce.com. Learn all of the many resources that our ministry offers. We feel like God has called us to create resources that foster spiritual growth. There isn't anything that I love more than to see people grow in their faith. And if you are growing in your faith as a result of following the teachings that we're doing through Awaken to Grace, well, I would love to hear from you. I would love to know where you are listening from, what the Lord is doing in your life. And friends, I would even love to know how to pray personally for you. Nothing thrills me more than when people message in, tell us where they're listening from and how to pray for them. So why don't you shoot me an email directly this week? Why don't you email me at PastorChadRoberts@gmail.com. Very simple, simply PastorChadRoberts@gmail.com, and let me know what the Lord is doing in your life. Well, today we're going to be in Revelation chapter 2, and I hope you enjoy the conclusion of the Church of Smyrna.
In the Roman world, family was paramount. You go against family, ultimate disgrace. Well, see, in the church, not only do we love our immediate family, but see, we're family, right? We are brothers and sisters in Jesus. And in the Roman world, when the church would call one another brothers and sisters, they scorned that. They would twist it and say, oh, you don't love your family. Oh, you walk away from your family. You don't love, you care nothing about your family because you choose this Christian family. They would take Holy Communion, where we observe the sacrifice of Jesus. We honor the brokenness of his body. We honor the shed blood with bread and juice. We honor this as the sacrifice of the Lord. Well, in the Roman world, they would twist that and they would call Christians cannibals. They would say, you're eating the flesh of Christ. You're drinking the blood. They would call it cannibalism, and they would just twist and they would slander Christians. And they would make them outcast and persecute them. And while Jesus says, I see the pressure that you're under, tribulation, I see the persecution you're under, the slander, he then says, I see your poverty. But listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, but you are rich. But you are rich. Do you see your life? Do you see your trials? Do you see your plight? Do you see your circumstance? Do you see your hardships from the perspective of Jesus? If you could see from his perspective, could it be that you would see your life different? Could it be that you would see your lot in life different? You would see your circumstance, you would see your trial. Could it be that you would see things different if you would see through his eyes? He says, you're rich. I'll never forget being in Cairo, Egypt one time, and I visited a church right along the Nile River that was so poor, my friends. They could not afford paint on the walls. They couldn't afford furniture. I went into the pastor's office, and the pastor didn't have any furniture. And I thought of my office. You walk into my office, and it's beautiful, at least, well, to me, you may not like it, but I love it. And I'm so comfortable in my office. And this pastor didn't even have a desk. He didn't have anything. And I'm walking around this church, and I had eyesight at that time, and I'm walking around what is one of the poorest churches I've ever been in, and the Holy Spirit's telling me, oh, but Chad, they're so rich. You just don't know how rich they are. I was in a church in Malawi, Africa some years ago where all they had was thatched sides and a thatched roof. And literally we sat in the clay dirt singing worship to Jesus and studying his word together. Friends, they have nothing, but they are so rich. Do you see your life from his perspective? He notes their pressure. He notes their poverty. He notes their persecution. Look with me at verse number 10. Watch what he's going to say. What would you say to someone who is suffering, who's having a very difficult time, who is in sorrow? You know, we've all been in those times when we don't know what to say, right? We've all been with loved ones. We've all been with friends, with church family, where we don't know what to say. Well, Jesus knew what to say. And look what he tells his church. Look what precious words. Do not fear. Isn't that what Jesus told John in chapter 1 when he fell as a dead man and worshiped him? He put his right hand on him and said, do not fear. What did we say a couple of weeks ago? Jesus takes our fears so serious. He doesn't brush them aside. He doesn't say, well, just buck up, grow up, get over it. Jesus doesn't treat our fears that way. You know what he does? He encourages us. And you know what the word encourage means? Encourage. When you encourage someone, you know what you do? You give them courage to go forward. And in this case, when Jesus tells these precious people, do not fear, you know what he's doing? He's giving them courage to face what lies ahead. Are you accepting the encouragement of the Lord? Or are you listening to everybody else? Are you listening to all the clutter? Are you listening to all the complaints? Are you listening to, I think you should do this. I think you should do that. I think you should, people will tell you all kinds of things. No, my friends, listen. Verse 11, hear what the Spirit says to the church. And when you listen to the precious Holy Spirit, you know what he gives us, church? He gives us encouragement. He encourages us. He gives us courage to go forward. He says, do not fear. And then he says, for the devil is about to throw some of you into prison for 10 days. Now, why 10 days? Well, number one, this represents a short period of time. Jesus is telling them this will be a short period of time. But listen to what history tells us about what I believe is this church age in Smyrna. Listen to what it tells us. There were exactly 10 waves of persecution under the Roman government. And Jesus is warning his church. He is preparing his people. And he says, be faithful even unto death. And listen to what he says. Be faithful unto death and you will be given what? A crown of life. See, what was mightily important in the city of Smyrna were the Olympic Games. It was all tied to this Asia Minor province. The Olympic Games were such a big deal, especially in this time period. Every Christian hearing the words of Jesus, they would have understood what he meant by the crown of life. You know what those Olympic winners, you know what those athletes would win in the Olympic Games in this day in Asia Minor? They would have gotten that evergreen wreath around their heads, that evergreen wreath. And you know what Jesus is telling his people? Be faithful even unto death, and you'll receive the crown of life. This is what James talked about. One of the five crowns that Christians can win out of the Bible. The crown of life. You know, as I said, I am of the persuasion that the angels Christ held the seven stars, which meant the angels, which I believe is the pastor of the church. I believe that means the pastor. It could literally mean an angel, but I think it's pastor. And do you know who the most famous pastor of Smyrna was? Now listen to this. Listen to the precision of how I believe scripture lines up. The most famous pastor of Smyrna was a man named Polycarp. Polycarp. If you don't know anything about Bishop Polycarp, it's worth you doing some research on. Polycarp was a direct disciple of John the Apostle. History tells us John would have died around 90 AD, and in 151 AD, 50, 60 years after the book of Revelation was written, in 151 AD, Polycarp was arrested by the Roman government in Smyrna. They figured if we're going to stop the explosive growth of the church, we should take out its leader. 2 weeks prior to Polycarp being arrested, he had a dream that his pillow was on fire. And he believed in the middle of the night, God warned him that he would be burned at the stake. Now remember what Jesus said, right, to the angel of the church in Smyrna. I believe that was to Polycarp. I believe it fits this time of history, this period of history. And what did Jesus tell this church? Be faithful even unto death. You are about to suffer. They arrested Polycarp. He was 86 years old. And when the Roman soldiers came to his home to arrest him, do you know how Polycarp responded? Rather than resisting them, rather than running away or fleeing, he offered them a meal. And after he fed the men who would take him to his death, Polycarp had one request. He requested that he might go to his room and spend 1 hour in prayer with the Savior. And that's what he did. When they brought him to the stadium, remember they had a large stadium, the largest theater, a large library, a large port. When they brought him before this massive crowd and before the authorities of Smyrna, they told him to do one thing and he would live. They said, "Say, Caesar is Lord." This 86-year-old man refused. They said, "Say that Caesar is Lord, or you will be burned at the stake." And what did Jesus say? "Be faithful even unto death, and you'll be given the crown of life." And Polycarp, history records, he said, "In 86 years, Christ has done me no harm. How can I do this to my Savior now?" And listen to what this 86-year-old man, full of Holy Spirit backbone, listen to what he told this stadium of people and the authorities. He said, "You threaten me with fire that is only temporary, but you are ignorant of the eternal fire that awaits you." That's what that 86-year-old man said. They took him and they strapped him to the stake and they lit the fire underneath him. And as the fire grew, do you know what it did? A gust of wind kept it away from his body. The fire would not touch this man of God. The flame would not even kindle upon him. It would not even touch his body. And they took a spear and they ran him through. And that's how the 86-year-old bishop of Smyrna, that's how he died, and that's how he received his crown of life that he is enjoying to this day. Amen. What's Jesus saying to us today? Verse 11. "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." Friends, Jesus knows what you're facing. Now, you and I may not be facing physical threats. We may not be facing the threat of losing our property. We may not be facing imprisonment. We may not be facing the loss of life. But let me assure you, spiritual warfare is still spiritual warfare, right? Don't minimize what you're facing. Don't minimize what you're suffering. Satan would come and he would try to harm you. He would try to hurt you. He would try to lie to you. He would try to deceive you. He would try to make you think that God is 1,000 miles from you. But I'm telling you, what God wants to say to you today, what God wants to say to this blind pastor today, is God knows exactly what you and I face. Every pressure, every trial, every heartache, every sorrow, every test, God knows it all. Amen. And he has grace to face it. And what he would say to you is what he would say to Smyrna, and it's what he would say to me. Do not fear what lies ahead. Do not fear what you're facing now. Do not fear what's down the road, what's ahead of the curve. Do not fear it, because we have an amazing promise from an amazing God who knows exactly what we face. Now, lastly, notice what he says. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, is this physical hearing? Absolutely not. This is an inward hearing, an effectual hearing, a spiritual kind of hearing. And then notice what he says. To the one who conquers, he will not be hurt by the second death. Oh, this is fascinating. Do you know the word not in the Greek language? When John wrote the words of Jesus and he said, will not be harmed. Do you know it is the strongest negative expression in all of the Greek language? In other words, it would be like us in our English language making a capital letters with explanation points, with parentheses, with an asterisk, underlined in italics. You cannot emphasize it strongly enough. You will not be hurt by the second death. What words to Christians who are facing death. What words to Christians who didn't know what their future held. Is that not beautiful to you? And what is the second death? Well, we studied this a few weeks ago when we talked about the great white throne. About a month ago, we studied this. What is the second death? What did we say? It's been so beautifully said. If you're born once, only a physical, natural birth, that of your mother's womb. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. You'll die the physical death that we all will die, but you'll die a spiritual death where you'll be forever separated from a loving and a holy God. But those who are born twice, didn't Jesus tell Nicodemus, you must be born again. Those who are born twice, you're born of your mother, you're born of your physical birth, but then your soul is born again. Your sins are washed in the blood of Jesus. Your sins are forever, for eternity, forgiven. Friends, we'll only die once. And that day that our soul is separated from our body, that is the only death we will ever face. And you know what the Bible says about that death? Christ abolished it. It was the final enemy, the last to be defeated. And now Christians can say, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? We'll only die once. When D.L. Moody, that great evangelist and pastor of the 1800s, when he died, you know what his last words were? If this is death, then it is sweet. Are you born again? Will you never, ever be harmed by the second death? If that's the case, then friends, what is there to fear in this life? What are you afraid of right now? What are you afraid of tomorrow? What are you afraid of in the months ahead? What is there to fear when you don't have to fear the second death. Do you know what Jesus is telling us? Live for eternity. Don't live for this world. Be faithful unto death and you'll receive the crown of life. Don't fear anything in your life. Don't fear the pressure. Don't fear any poverty. Don't fear any persecution. Don't fear slander. Don't fear anything. Because the supreme, the sovereign, the risen Lord is the first and the last. He is Alpha and Omega. He lived and he died and he lives and he lives according to Hebrews to make intercession for us. He ever liveth to make intercession on our behalf. So what are you afraid of today? What are you facing today that you don't know if you'll get through it? Why don't you bow your heads today? With your eyes closed, your head bowed. I don't know what you're facing. But I know this. I know Satan's probably lying to you just like he tried to lie to me. He's probably telling you God doesn't understand just like he told me. But I'm telling you on the authority of God's word, Christ does know. And he knows by experience. And he sees your pressure. Today, if you need to come and pray and lay some pressure down, if you need to come and pray and lay some sorrow down, if you need to come and pray and get some encouragement and get courage to take the next steps and get courage to walk by faith and not by sight, why don't you slip out of your seat right now and why don't you come to this altar? You can kneel, you can stand. You can sit on this platform. You can stand by the wall. You can get on your knees. You can do whatever you need to do, whatever's comfortable. You come. Why don't you slip out and come right now? We have people who want to pray with you. And why don't you come? And why don't you get the encouragement that Jesus wants to give you today? Get the encouragement that he can give you. And then today, if you don't know the Lord, if you've only been born once, and you've never been born again. Friends, the second death awaits you. The lake of fire awaits you. The great white throne judgment awaits you. But see, Christ took that. He took that. The judgment that is reserved for you, he absorbed. And he took on your behalf. The question is, will judgment fall on you? Or will you allow it to fall on Jesus? If you're here today and you've never been born again, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. And you know, being born again is not simply praying a prayer. Being born again is repenting of your sin and saying, Jesus, take my judgment. Take my punishment. If today you've never been born again, I'm not asking, have you had religion? Have you been baptized? Have you done the church thing? That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, have you been born again that Jesus has changed your nature and forgiven your sins? If not, I want you to pray with me right now. I want you to bow your head. I want you to pray with me. In your heart, just pray, Jesus, rescue me today. Rescue me, Jesus. Rescue me from my sin. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me today, Lord God, of all sin. And I make you my Lord and Savior. I will follow you all the days of my life. Take my judgment and take my life and use it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God.